are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Essence, I is the witness, abide with total presence. Who is the question? Am is the essence. I is the witness, abide with total presence. Back in the day, there was a great sage by the name Maharshi. He didn't preach, all the ever did say was ask yourself the question, who am I? Then stay present and ignore any answers. That's just your brain cancer. The story narrator, the conflict instigator, the one they call the mind. Make him face the mirror, who am I? Repeat it like a mantra until ego throws a tantrum and gets booted out this mansion. And now there's no more question. I am that I am essence before the manifested of the sun, earth, and fleshes. I am his total presence. If all of life's a painting, then I am is this canvas. Prior to the brushstrokes, consciousness is mirror smoke. Who's the one that wants to know? I will go when ego goes. Am I a phenomenal? Hollow whole finumeral. You see the tight conundrum, cause it's both sides of the pendulum. Subjectively observing, creating this momentum. The I am that tennis match, love to love, the place is packed. But all the games are just an act. The ego squatting in your flat, screaming, where's the owner at? He doesn't hear an answer back, so he thinks that he is that body, mind, vehicle. I am is ethereal, fueling all materials, totally invisible. So go beyond the physical. Who am I? The mystical. Who said that? The ego still. Follow to that hollow tube, the peace of bliss and solitude. The only one cannot be. To the duel is in your mind, dude. None of this is actual, it's all matter factual. Matter is still malleable, so molded into vacuum holes. Beautiful and magical, I am is behind it all.
What's up?
The question is the
essence. You've just turned in, turned in, turned inside out, and tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station.
I read about this yogi Christ that doesn't eat or drink. He sits in lotus all night without a wink of sleep. He gets his sustenance straight from this oxygen. High up in the Himalayas, sitting on a mountain. They say that he's older than most of these boulders that his body sits on. He exists in all dimensions. A time and space magician, a master over Maya. He's burning up these thoughts of all your wants and desires.
What's up, people? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. We'd like to remind you here that we are all always sending you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. What's going on, people? We have a very exciting show for you today. As a matter of fact, we are blessed. We are always blessed from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. And we are blessed to come in contact with the people that we vibe to. And today is a perfect example of a blessing. I'd like to welcome Coot Blackson into the studio, into the space with us today. How you doing today, brother?
How are you? It's great to be here.
Man, it's such a blessing to have you. For those of you that are not familiar with Coot, Coot Blackson is an utterly unique visionary in the world of human potential, right? So unlike those who promise to simply help people get what they want, Coot's life work instead reveals to people what they have to give by liberating who they are most truly and deeply. The focus, freedom. The son of revered spiritual leader Coot was speaking to his father's congregations in more than 300 churches by the age of 8. At the age of 14, he was ordained into his father's ministry and groomed to carry on the family's spiritual legacy. but his heart's truth drew him to separate from his father's ministry and to come to Los Angeles in actually 1995. So we're looking at 9 years? 1995. Whoa.
18 years.
Oh, wait. I was, for some reason, I was thinking, I was looking at it. Wow, man, time goes by. Whoa, 95. Wow, that's amazing. That's why we're here. Time. Well, today, the venue for his message may be one-on-one, a vast stadium setting, a corporate seminar, or anything in between. His electrifying presentations are especially sought after by major companies. Coot is a global authority in transformational immersion journeys. That's awesome. What is a transformational immersion journey?
Transformational immersion. You know, many times we travel and we leave our regular lives really to escape ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we hate our lives. We feel frustrated. We feel a lack of a sense of purpose in our regular lives. So we want to escape ourselves, or we don't like something about ourselves. So we go to Cancun or Mexico or Bali or wherever it is we go, and we run away from ourselves for about 2 weeks. We drink, we go to the beach, we distract ourselves. We have a party, we have a great time, and we just forget about ourselves for that vacation. And then absolutely, the issue is you go back into your life, and guess who's waiting for you? You are waiting for you, and everything that you were previously is still there. It wasn't resolved. You right. just kind of avoided it for a moment. So really, transformational immersion journeys is inspired by my concept of transformational travel, where you unplug from the TikTok matrix of your regular life,
yes,
your regular routine, the conditioned repetitive patterns that you typically have been conditioned into but don't even know about. You think this is just who you are.
Yes.
So we unplug you from that and put you in an unknown setting, an unknown environment. And basically, I immerse you. It's yes, transformational. It's immersion. It's 24/7 into the unknown. And you have to face yourself and find yourself. And what I do on these journeys, whether it's to India, whether it's to Bali, is create processes and experiences that really cause you to question who you are, cause you to question your reality, cause you to question your sense of identity, the grip on yourself that we often develop as children.
Yes.
You know, as children, David, you know, we're free.
Yes.
And I love your positivity because, you know, often thanks, as man, children, we have that positivity.
Right.
But then we go through life and we lose that positivity. We get beaten. We get abused. We get raped. We get abandoned. We get this. We get rejected. School, media, parents. And we learn all sorts of ways to disconnect from ourselves,
yes,
disconnect from our essence, that pure essence of who we are, that pure light.
Yes.
And if you look at a child, I think the reason when we look at a child, no matter if you're black, white, green, orange, you know, the most mean person on the planet. If you look at a child, I think we all feel that connection.
Yes.
Because it reminds us of our own true essence. So
yes,
children, we're free. Yeah. We're in touch with that life, but we lose touch with that essence. We learn all sorts of ways to disconnect, to shut down, to avoid pain, to not get hurt, ultimately to function and survive. We learn a mechanism, a strategy. We develop masks, a way of being, and
yes,
then we learn a certain way of being in the world to not only survive but to be loved. So who do I need to be loved? So we shut down, we
wow,
disconnect, and we create a certain sense of identity to
right,
function and survive that gets us certain needs met, avoids pain. And we think this is me, this is who I am. And we hold so tightly and identify so tightly with that. And it helps us get through
right,
that childhood. It helps us survive, but it doesn't help us survive. It doesn't help us thrive.
Yes.
And often when we get into our teens, 20, 30, 40, some 50, 60, if we don't deal with ourselves, if we don't really question who am I really, we think that's who we really are.
Right.
And we live inside of a limited prison called the personality. The limited prison that we call me. And all of society reinforces, this is you, this is you, this is who you are, the media, the magazines, you are this body, you are these clothes, you are this identification. Because the more identified we are with who we think we are, the more we can be sold.
Yes.
We can be sold a whole bunch of stuff that we think we need in order to fulfill who we think we are, which we're not really in essence. So what I really do, one of the things is through these transformational journeys to Bali, for instance, is I unplug people and get people to really question who they are and create, you know, I, for instance, I use Bali as a What I do in Bali is pretty much an 11.5-day, 24/7 transformational, experiential, immersion journey, wow, where I take 20 visionaries from around the world. The last journey to Bali, we had about people from 8 different countries, wow, or something like that. So visionaries that feel a calling and a sense of destiny and a desire to make a difference, because I think we all have that sense, that feeling, we want to make a difference.
Yes.
And I strip people down and I get people to question their reality and take people through a real deep transformational process of healing that, wow, is about freedom. It's really about freedom. So, wow, yeah, that's a little bit about it.
I love you, Coop. Thank you, man. Wow. Yeah, that, there you go.
Just, to answer your question,
there's society in a nutshell, what we're doing over here. Coot, thank you so much, man. Yeah, that's exactly everything that I believe, right? We can only speak for ourselves. That's everything that I believe is why society is the way that it is, is why we're so driven to, you know, I always have this example that I use on the show, for things when they relate like this, you know, in our society, a man who's wealthier in this situation, a man that, has to, you know, drive, let's just say like, a man that has to drive a $200,000, $500,000, $1 million car, versus, okay, so let's say that his car goes into the shop and, you know, Enterprise Rent-A-Car gives him a Toyota. He is not going to feel the wholeness of who he is. He's going to feel degraded in himself because he's like, dude, where's my Rolls? Like, you know, he's like, where's, you know, now hear me out. I think that to manifest abundance and to create prosperity is what part of what this life is about. That's why we're here. We're given the option to be able to manifest these things. And if you want to drive whatever you want, drive it. I mean, I think driving nice cars is preferable over driving not nicer cars. But what I'm saying is, don't have the car define you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of in correspondence with our society.
Yeah,
how
I say it's not about the thing.
Yes, of course.
You know, and it's not about, we can be identified with a car.
Yes.
We can be identified with our waist, our body. We can be identified with our ability to sexually please our partner. We can, wow, be identified with our hair.
Yeah.
We can be identified with how good we are at yoga, how good we can meditate, the degree to the purity of my raw food diet. We can be identified with how much money in a bank account.
Wow.
It doesn't matter. You know, the identity is identity.
Absolutely.
And I say the degree to which we are tightly holding on to an identity is the degree to which we're not free. And so often we think, Davey, that, yo, I have free will, I have free choice. And we don't realize that we're not really free. The degree to which we're conditioned by our past programming, by our parents, by all that stuff that has become tattooed into our consciousness, thinking that's just the way life is, that's just who I am. What do you mean there's more?
Right.
Is the degree to which we're not actually free to choose.
Yes.
And I think so often in our culture, we've been conditioned to get, we've been taught, even, you know, in self-help, in spirituality, in the books, you know, manifest, get what you want, you know, and it's get everything and manifest everything you want. And here's the secrets to get everything you want. And we get conditioned and sold this idea of getting what you want.
Yes.
And many people sometimes get what they thought they wanted.
Right.
Only to realize, whoa, wait a second, this is not really what I wanted.
Yes.
Because we're trying to get, yes, what we want, what we thought we wanted based on who we thought we were. But because we're not in touch with who we are, what we thought we wanted isn't really what we really want. So,
yes,
we get there and go, wow, this isn't really it. So I say it's never about the thing itself. It's always about your relationship with it. You know, I remember I was in India. I've been to India 22 times. And I was in India
That's
one
amazing.
Time, and I was hanging out with these monks. And let me tell you, these monks were so identified to their monkness. These monks were so identified to, I'm a monk, and I'm holier than you, and look at me, and I'm in my robes, and I've,
sure,
and I'm, look how spiritual I am. And
right,
that's just as much an ego,
yes,
as a billionaire who has a jet, who's flying around the world and doesn't care and can have it or not have it.
Yes.
So I say you can't really afford to have what you're not willing to give up.
Yes.
Because it will have you. And in our culture, we think and we've equated freedom to be these external things, the thing itself. And the degree, and we're sold that because media and, you know, business needs to sell this lie that you are not enough. So if you buy the car, the house, the clothes, the watch, the iPhone, then if you drink that beer and if you wear that lingerie, you're going to be enough.
Yes.
Because then we're sold. It's just consumerism. You know, nothing wrong with any of that. You know, it's life. Life is a play. Yeah. Life is just whatever it is. It's all illusory. It's all a game. None of it really means that much anyway. Yes. But if we've forgotten and we hold on to it, that's the degree to which we'll suffer. So I think the real... we have to ask ourselves, am I really free? And the real freedom, we're often... erroneously looking for a sense of freedom out here. We think that car, that house, the size of the house, the bank account is going to give us freedom. But all those things are transitory. All those things are impermanent. They're constantly changing.
Yes.
So if, as you said, if we're attached to it, they're not free because it's going to fluctuate. And as it fluctuates, so will our self-esteem. So will our sense of happiness and joy and our freedom, which is why people kill themselves.
Yes.
When, you know, oh my God, let's stop market crash. You know, I have to drive a shitty car. You know, it's like, this is not who we are. But neither is this body. Neither is our yoga. Neither are any of the concepts that we have labeled ourselves to be. We're none of that either. We are so much beyond that. So to me, real freedom is being in touch with the source of our true being.
Thank you.
Real renunciation.
Thank you.
Real renunciation is not like, oh, I have to give up my robes. And, you know, because I met these monks in India.
Right.
And they were so proud and kind of arrogant about how monkish they were. But they were holding on to their identity. So I say real renunciation is the degree to which we give up our identification with all of this external stuff and connect to the source, which is nothing and which is everything. Then we're free to have it, to not have it, to play in it, to not play in it. It's all a game. It's all an expression of the divine. You know, the car, the fruit, the mango, it's all a manifestation of the one anyway. Everything is manifesting from the one, you know. But I think our relationship with it is what's really, really important. And I think it's dangerous to go, oh, it's not spiritual to not have things.
Right.
It's not spiritual or not spiritual. It has nothing to do with being spiritual.
It's all spiritual. It's all spirit. It's all one.
Everything is one.
It's all, it's all source.
The real spirituality is being in touch with the source of our being, the source of our spirit, and allowing that to manifest in a free, unconditioned way.
Yes.
And we've been conditioned so often that energy can't flow through the prison of our personality. So what I really do is I help people unravel. Yes. I don't really coach people, teach people, train people. I unteach, uncoach. And I help people unravel because I believe that at the core of our being, David, we're all already free. We all, at the deepest core, we already know everything. We are everything. We've just lost touch with that. We've lost consciousness to the fact that we're actually already awake.
Exactly.
You know, we already know.
Exactly.
So that's the path, is just reconnecting with the freedom that we already are and living that fully in the world, and from that place loving freely and living freely, and you know, and then from that place, you know, if the abundance is great, you know, the universe is abundant, just receive it.
Absolutely. You know, Coot, something that we talk about here on the Vibration Station a lot is that there's constantly, at all times, as long as you are in a physical body, there will be two yous. There will be two perspectives of you. There is the perspective of you right now with your ego construct, and we're all human beings. We all have an ego construct. It's why we have a body. It's why we chose to grab a body. We want to know what it is to feel that sense of identity and then to remember what it's like to lose it. You know, it's so... well, that's one of us. The other part of us is that pure source, beaming, starry-eyed essence that is you, has always been you, will forever be you, and you can't do anything about it. If you hate it loves you. If you love it, it loves you. You know? So what I feel like we're talking about here is allowing, right? How you say you're in prison, and I love your metaphors. I've never heard them in the way that you speak them, and it's really resonating, and I'm sure that there's thousands of people around the world right now that are feeling the same way. By the way, if you guys want to call in live on the air, I'm extending the invitation, 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. We have Coot Blackson in the studio with us, high-vibing, high vibrations, good energies. If you were to look up in the studio, you would have to wear some sunglasses because the colors are so bright. So that's just what's happening right now. We're talking about how to let in the wholeness of who you are. So this essence, Coot, that you were just explaining to us, this is the energy, this is the essence that you, anybody, everything, anyone can allow to flow through your vessel, through your human body, right? And how you were talking about earlier, your metaphor of you're imprisoned, you tie yourself up. You tangle yourself in what society shows you have to be. Well, what that untangling is, what you introduce to people, is you just show them that Source is knocking at their door. You just show them that Source is like swirling in their door. Like, you just need to crack the door a little bit and it's gonna like come through. And the only thing, the only reason why it's not swirling through is because it's so tangled, because those cords are tangled. And I mean, that's what it's about, is knowing that you are Source. And if you're not necessarily feeling that in that moment, it doesn't mean that it's not present within you at all times, you know. That's it. Coot, I want to I want to get into asking you a few, few other questions regarding exactly the impact, right? Exactly what we're doing. So, what keeps people stuck in their lives?
Yeah, you know, I think I started to touch on that in a sense, David, where the information's out there.
Yes.
You know, there's millions of books on how to heal yourself, find yourself, forgive yourself, love yourself, you know, do this technique, do that technique, this modality, this healing, this energy. There's millions of books.
Yes.
You know, how to catch a man, keep a man, love a man, catch a woman, find your woman. There's just like, I don't know, hundreds of millions of books from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So if information alone was enough, we would all be unstuck. There's enough information out there in the library to get unstuck right now.
Yes.
So I say that information by itself is not enough. Is not enough. And why is it that when we know what to do, I read this book. Okay, I know what to do. We do the opposite.
Right.
When we know what to do, we still sabotage.
Right.
When we know we should go and turn left, and that would be stepping up to that next level, we turn right and keep ourselves small.
Right.
So why is it? It's because of the condition patterning. It's because of our conditioning.
Right.
Our past programming, our conditioning, which is often unconscious that we're not even aware of.
Right.
So as I was saying, we've created a mechanism, a certain way of being, a certain survival strategy that we often learned as children. And that survival strategy, you know, we often beat ourselves up and judge ourselves, but it's the very thing that helped us deal with the pain. It's the very thing that helped us, you know, get through. It's the very thing that helped us function and survive.
Yes.
So,
yes,
you know, as young children, we hold so tightly to that.
Yes.
And it often keeps us stuck and we're not even aware of it. So we can read the books, but we're moving forward and we're trying to do something differently. Mm. But that's to actually get unstuck means to give up the very survival mechanism that kept us safe. I'll give you an example.
Yes,
I was working with a
please.
Client. I took this client on one of my intensive 2-week journeys to India. And I'll never forget that let's call this client Jim, okay, just for confidentiality's sake. Jim, I remember Jim saying to me, Jim said to me, you know, Coot, you asked me 3-4 questions. And in those questions, it unlocked something that I'd never thought about before. I realized that when I was 5 years old, I was molested, sexually molested, by my uncle.
My God.
And I had no conscious memory of that until you asked me those 4 specific questions.
Whoa.
And it just triggered this opening, this awakening inside of me. And he was crying because he couldn't believe, like, this was lodged in his mind. And this was a man who, you know, he has a very powerful wife and sort of hides behind his wife. And for his whole life had this identity of, I'm not the in front of the camera person. I'm the back of the room. I'm just the supporter. I like being quiet. I'm shy.
Totally.
That was his whole shtick. That was his whole thing. And people loved him for that because, you know, he was such a sweet and nice guy.
Totally.
So what he realized was at age 5, something happened that should not have happened. It wasn't okay for that to happen.
Wow.
You know? And this thing happened to him as a 5-year-old that was really inappropriate for a 5-year-old to experience from his uncle. And it was a lot of pain. And he was told, don't tell anyone, otherwise there's going to be severe consequences. So that's one. Number two, unconsciously, what he realized, and also the reason for the tears, is at age 5, you know, he was bright. He was full of vibrancy and joy and just light.
It's pure.
Pure. Innocence, right? Just bouncing out of him. So someone saw that and it was kind of taken advantage of, and you know, it was totally inappropriately. So what unconsciously he learned was, it's not safe to be myself. It's not safe to be seen. It's not safe to be out there, because when I'm bright, when I'm magnificent, when I'm my essence, when I'm like shining light, people see me and dangerous things happen. So unconsciously, what did he do? He shut down, disconnected, started to hide his light, be quiet, go into the background, became the shy guy, the guy that never spoke, the guy that was the introvert, the guy that was always in the back of the room. That became his identity. He became so good at supporting people, helping people. His wife was the one always in the front. And that became his, and he was actually really good at the support role. However, when I saw him for the first time, I saw that this was a complete BS lie.
Yeah.
It was totally inauthentic. And I said, you have been acting your entire life, because when I looked into his eyes, I saw power.
Wow.
I saw a lion. I saw such power that wasn't authentically manifesting from his being.
Yes.
And he had learned to hide in order to keep himself safe.
Right.
And that was his survival strategy. So what we really need to do, so, you know, he can read a book about, well, let me be out there in the world.
Exactly.
But there's unconscious patterning and strategies that are really physiological, the nervous system and the unconscious, that hold us back. So he might know, I need to be out there, but something is pulling him back. So, you know, what I do is I create the experiences and the environment and the processes that help people actually see it. The first step to getting unstuck, the first step to the first step, there's a first step, but there's some pre-steps, and one of those steps to actually getting unstuck is the willingness to tell the truth to yourself about where you're at. Many times we're stuck in an area, but because we're invested in what we've created there, if I actually tell the truth to myself, I might have to admit that I'm not in love with my girlfriend or my wife.
Right?
And I've been married for 30 years and we've built this thing. And what will the neighbors say? What will people say? What will my family say? I can't admit that to myself. So there's a way we're often constantly justifying, rationalizing, and lying to ourselves about what is and what isn't. And it keeps us stuck. The other thing is, I say one of those things is really being brutally and ruthlessly honest with yourself. And if you say, yes, I'm stuck. Yes, I'm unhappy. Yes, this is the case. Be honest.
Yes.
Even if you're not going to do anything about it, just I'm stuck. I don't love my wife.
Right.
I'm stuck. I'm not happy with my body. I'm not happy with a certain area. This is the truth. X, Y, Z. This is my confession. And I'm not willing to do anything about it. Okay. That's honest.
That's awesome. Yes.
But you know, the honesty will be painful.
Yes.
To create... I invite people to sit in the fire and the burn of that honesty, because it will start burning you up like, whoa, I know this is the case. I'm not willing to do anything about it. And now I have to sit with the awareness of that pain.
Yes.
That's one of the steps. The next step is, you know, after 13 years of coaching people from all around the world, and David, you know, I have clients literally in 20 countries right now, over the last years, coached thousands of people, became known as the guy who really you had to come see when you had to have a breakthrough. What I've seen is, if someone is not truly committed, sounds simple. People say, I want to shift. I want to change. Yeah, I know I need to lose weight. I know I need... But if people are not truly radically committed to changing, to shifting, to transforming, more than anything else. So I ask people, what do you want more than anything else?
Right.
No, I want to change. What do you want more than anything else? And many times, they're not there.
Right.
They're like, yeah, I know I need to make some more money, take my game to the next level, to lose weight, whatever it might be, to be more. What do you want more than anything else? But they often want their mediocrity, their smallness, being liked, being validated, the known comfort zone of their life. They often want that more than anything else. Yeah. So I often give an analogy in one of my seminars. I say, if I took your head and I stuck your head underwater and I kept your head under, so if you're listening, imagine I took your head and stuck it underwater, what would happen? 30 seconds would go by, a minute would go by, 2 minutes would go by, 3 minutes would go by. You know, David's jumping out of his seat, you know, 4 minutes, you know. At that point, if I said to you, you know, excuse me, your head's underwater, but would you like a chocolate cake? Or if I said, would you like a Rolex watch? Or if I said, would you like $100,000 in cash? Your head, what would you say? The only thing that you would really want in that moment is air.
Yes.
That you would want that more than your comfort, more than being liked, more than money, more than fame, more than validation, more than anything.
Yes.
That level of commitment, I believe, is what we need to break through.
Yes.
And often what keeps people stuck is they don't have that level of commitment. So it's the honesty, it's the commitment, it's the willingness to be aware.
Yes.
You know, and you know, in that process to really bring compassion, because often those mechanisms that we have created to survive and function as ourselves, you know, I often say, even though they often cause us pain in this moment, sometimes sabotage, sometimes addictions and tremendous, you know, damage in our lives, those parts of us are often seeking to get us something.
Yes.
They're trying to, absolutely, you know, they often have a positive intention.
Yes.
So I think it's important that we really ask ourselves, what is it that this part of me that is stuck really needs? What is it that it's really afraid of? What is it that is trying to get me? And we actually find the way to work with that part that's stuck and fulfill that rather than trying to override it with our mind, with an affirmation, because you can override it, but if you don't deal with the root core of what it's like having a child who's hungry and said, let's think positive. You're not hungry. You're not hungry. You're not hungry. But dude, your 5-year-old is hungry.
Yeah. Like,
and then now your 5-year-old's running around the house screaming and going crazy. No, let's meditate. Meditation's not going to fill your 5-year-old's stomach.
Exactly.
So we have to deal with the root and get to the root. And then from that place, then we have a foundation to then put some of the information and the positivity and the visualizations into practice. So every single pattern that we have that keeps us stuck, every single behavior often has a positive intention. And unless we deal with it in a healthy way, those aspects, those parts of ourselves will often try to find they'll find any way to try and get its need met.
Totally.
You know, so I think if we can have compassion with, wow, this is what I'm really seeking. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bring love to that part. Thank you.
Yes.
Then we can bring healing. I last thing I'll say about that question is,
yes,
to really bring healing, if there's anything that the listeners will take away, to really bring healing and to transform, there are layers.
Yes.
You know, there's it. Transformation is a process. It's not a one-shot thing that happens in an hour.
Totally.
It's a process. It's a work in process. We're not perfect beings. As human beings, we weren't really born to be perfect. So I say, if you're looking for perfection in the physical, if you're looking for perfection in the personality, you're not going to find it.
Yeah.
The real perfection is at the level of soul, at the level of essence.
Yes.
So the one thing, if you were to practice, is the commitment to loving yourself radically.
Yes.
Because it's that self-love, it's the love that facilitates the healing. Yes. Healing is applying love to those parts of ourselves that are often hurting.
Yes.
And those parts of us, how do we know those parts of ourselves that are hurting? Because we'll feel them.
Yeah.
You know, we'll feel the pain, we'll feel the hurt, we'll feel our reaction, jealousy, pain, insecurities. And to not go, oh, what's wrong with me, but to actually shift our perspective and get excited and say, wow, there's a light being shone on a part of me that needs my love.
Yes.
And if I can bring love to that part of myself, a radical commitment to love yourself no matter what, that means to love yourself even if you're not loving yourself.
Yes.
So, but you said love myself. So even if you're not loving yourself, being able to bring compassion to love that part of you.
Yes.
You know, and to me, that's really what facilitates the healing. One thing that really shifted in my life, David, was I worked on myself and I worked on myself and I did therapy and I went and I did on and on and on. And, you know, it's like My personality was not perfect. I still was impatient. I still was doing all these things. One day I said, you know, I'm going to love myself no matter what. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the issue is I'm stuck about. It's not an excuse to indulge it or condone it. It just, I'm going to love myself no matter what. And my relationship with myself and my relationship with the issue became more important than the very issue itself that I was trying to unstuck. Because the moment you unstuck one issue, guess what? There's going to be another one.
Right.
And there'll be another one. And at different stages of our evolution, there will always be something we're working on.
Yes.
You know, it's like going to the ocean and surfing the ocean and going, oh, there's not going to be any more waves once I do that surf.
Right, right.
There's always waves. So
yes.
I think really having a compassionate relationship with ourselves and saying, you know what? It's not easy. I've been through a lot. I'm still here. The fact that we're all still here doing our best, the best. Because I don't think anyone wakes up, Davey, and says, today, I'm going to do the worst I can do. I'm going to be the worst me possible. I'm going to screw up as much as possible. I'm going to hate people. I'm going to be the worst, lowest version of myself possible.
No.
I don't think anyone really wakes up and intentionally. We might end up there by accident.
Right.
You know, we have a few too many drinks. Oh, now we slip. But, but we don't try. So there's usually something underneath that really seeking out love. And I think love yourself radically no matter what.
Yes. Coot, thank you, brother. I love you, man. This is great. This is great. Yeah. You know, we actually have a caller on the air. We're going to take him right now.
All right.
How we doing? You are live on the air, Dave's Good Vibration Station. We have Coot Blackson in the studio with us. Who are we speaking with, right? Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Dave.
Today. Hey, right now. Today is, now is the only time. The time is now. Who are we speaking to? I'm sorry.
This is Julie.
Hey, Julie. How we doing today?
Good.
Nice.
How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. We're getting some high vibrations in the studio, and I'm definitely learning a lot about myself and sharing this wonderful experience with Coot in the studio today.
Wow, I always love you and your show, Dave.
Oh, well, thanks, Julia.
Awesome. Coot is amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, amazing guest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you, Julie. What's what can we help you with today? What are we talking about?
I have a question.
Let's hear it.
I'm sort of always kind of checking myself and doubting myself. I grew up in a home where I just totally felt not accepted, loved, validated. I was always told I was stupid and worthless. And one of my parents, you know, was an addict, and the other one was narcissistic. I just, you know, I've been struggling all my life with trying to be the best I can be. I've been in therapy, and I've worked through a lot of problems. So I feel okay about myself, and I want to write a book sharing my experiences and what I learned with other people about overcoming an abusive family. But then I really want to, you know, I want to, like, do this blog better, and that's not good enough. This book is, you know, I keep writing new things, and then I keep trying to put ideas out there to, you know, help my friends and help other people. And the problem is that I'm wondering if I, as Cute said, I'm wondering if I'm doing all this to prove that I'm worthy and will be accepted, or if I'm doing it because I really, truly want to help. And I'm kind of torn in between. And I was wondering if you could help me kind of...
Hey, Julie, this is Coot. Can you hear me?
Coot, I can hear you.
First, I want to say you're amazing. And what I believe is, look, every single experience of your life, every single experience... Life is a university. Life is a school. So your soul maybe came in with a curriculum of things it needed to learn. So every single thing that ever happened to you with your parents and all that stuff that occurred is really the university and the school curriculum for the lessons of your soul that ultimately... We're not saying they were right. We're not saying that they were pleasant. We're not saying they should have happened, shouldn't have happened. But they happened. And I believe that they happened for a reason. I invite you to truly embrace the reason. And since we have, you know, we don't have as much time, but to really embrace the reason it happened as a perfect curriculum for your soul's expression.
Beautiful.
And to support you to be able to do what you're here to do. So the second thing I'll say is to truly, if you haven't, forgive and let go of whatever you is unresolved with your parents, with your childhood, to really forgive and release, which sounds like you've been doing some beautiful work there, but also to bring that loving and that validation and that nurturing and that compassion and that reassurance to that little girl part of you, that little girl aspect of you that grew up without a sense of security and validation. And, you know, she's the part of you that has the doubt and the concern. Can I do it? And is it enough? Am I going to be enough? Is it going to be perfect enough? And, you know, that's the part of you. It's not an issue. I want to say, look, there's no problem. Shift it. There's no issue. There's just a part of you that is, we'll call her the little girl aspect of you, that is seeking some of your attention. And the more you are able to work with her and nourish her and bring loving to her, it's like she just needs to be fed. She's been hungry. She's been starved of that validation. So to some degree, she might be seeking it outside in the world. But it's just showing you, wow, this is where my work is needed, is to learn to love myself, that perhaps part of your soul's curriculum in this life was the classroom, was the bachelor's, the master, the bachelor's degree to learn to love yourself. And perhaps the the master's degree is not, you know, once you've done the bachelor's, which is loving yourself, the master's is actually sharing what you've learned with the world. That you haven't just gone through the experience just to go through it. You've gone through it so that you can turn around and share it with others. And I'll say this. Here's what I'll say. So do your part, okay? Do your part in healing yourself, because, you know, to me, that's the foundation. To truly lead others, you must be able to lead yourself. So that's the foundation. But what I'll say as a caveat is be aware and be careful that you don't doubt yourself to such a point, which is what occurred for you growing up, and you become, you know, your parents to yourself, that you don't do that to such a point where you so play this game of confusion with yourself that you inhibit yourself from actually taking the action necessary to move forward. Sometimes we play a game and we confuse ourselves to a point that we don't actually move forward. That what I found for myself when I started, people say, Coop, wow, I love your blogs, I love your videos, I've seen you speak and what have you. And you know what? You don't have to be perfect when you start. In fact, you'll never be, you're never going to be perfect. But what I promise you is no matter where you are, as you are, you can share your journey, and that what you share will be perfect for the perfect people waiting for you, and that there are people waiting to hear what you have to say in the way that you have to say it based on where you are right now. And what you say right now won't be what you'll say 5 years from now, because you will have evolved. And the mistake that people make is they try and wait till they're completely healed, till they're completely perfect, till they're completely enlightened. And you know what? That you'll be waiting forever. So what I'm saying is embrace where you're at, love where you're at, celebrate where you're at, and share. This has been my journey, and share that journey with others as you keep healing and evolving. But do not wait. Do not wait for that perfect moment. The perfect moment is now, and it's in the process of you giving your gifts now that you will go on another healing journey yourself. And that is part of what, that is part of the journey that will also help you heal in giving your gifts.
Thank you so much, Coot.
Coot.
I love that.
Brother Coot, that
so
is awesome.
Much.
All right, much love, G.
I love your work, and, you know, Dave, I always love you.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
Thank
I love you, too. I really
blessings
do.
Blessings to you. Blessings, and thank you so much. I'm going to replay this show tomorrow.
Awesome.
Cool.
Like, hear what you said to me again.
Awesome. That is bless so you, cool, Julie. Well, we send you over here at the Vibration Station unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you, Julie.
Bye.
Beautiful, beautiful. Julie, what a wonderful person. Thank you so much for calling. We so appreciate when our listeners call in and they'll give us feedback and show us the love, and we get to give the love back. And Coot, You're so amazing, man.
It's
you're,
great to be here.
Yeah, it's such a blessing. Coot, I wanted to talk about a few things with you. Just time flies.
Time flies.
When you're having fun. So tell me about the Man Breakthrough Experience.
Okay.
A woman's seminar. What is this,
man? The Man Breakthrough Experience is a seminar for women. Let me make that clear. So if you're a woman out there, your ears should go up and the antenna should come up. And you might be thinking, what is a man doing teaching a seminar for women? So let me make clear, I'm not teaching a seminar to women, for women, about being a woman.
Okay.
As a man.
Right.
The Man Breakthrough, let me give a little background. The
yeah,
Man Breakthrough
please,
Experience
please.
Really came about, Davey, because over the last 13 years or so, coaching people intensely, and I've coached everyone from billionaires, celebrities, athletes, mothers, daughters, school children, real estate agents.
Yeah.
You know, you name it, I've worked with them.
Wow.
Okay, and helped them transform.
So cool.
And as I worked with some of these amazing women, clients of mine, you know, one of the themes that would inevitably come up with my amazing women clients was the theme of relationship, love, and men.
Yes.
And I saw some of the most spiritual, most evolved, most powerful, most amazing women in the area of their relationship, love life with men seemed so confused. And because it was a coaching relationship, that they were able to, they were courageous enough to let their guards down with me and be that vulnerable and honest, because in their lives they had to be strong.
Yes.
So they were willing to be that courageous and honest with me and say, Coot, I don't understand like what's going on. I keep attracting the same kind of man. I've read the books. I've gone to the seminars, but I keep attracting the same kind of man. He says he wants to be with me, but he doesn't show up. He doesn't call. He says he loves me, but he's not committed.
Right.
What's going on? I can't figure men out. And you know, I keep attracting guys that cheat. How do I heal this?
Right.
So information is not enough.
No.
And these women knew what they should do. And what it came down to, as I said, is their own conditioning. The past conditioning, the past programming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single thing that happens to us, Davey, in our lives as children gets stored in our unconscious, gets stored physiologically in our nervous system.
Yes.
Every single memory has like a little, you know, mark in our nervous system. And the nervous system is the antenna that goes out into the world, and information comes in, it gets filtered and processed through our nervous system, and then we make an interpretation about what just happened and what reality means and what he said actually meant.
Right.
So you get where I'm going?
Yeah.
So if we have a whole bunch of junk in our nervous system that's processed and unresolved from the past, then he or she says something to us, then we're filtering that through all the unresolved stuff in our nervous system that we might not be deciphering what is actually reality correctly, but we're basing that on the reality that's based on all the years of the decades, who knows, parental, grandparents, generational patterns of the past that's stuck in our nervous system.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's all still there. That's
and it's all still there. We're walking around interpreting life thinking, oh, I'm seeing reality. We're not necessarily seeing reality.
You're seeing your screen. You're seeing
the degree to which that nervous system is filled is full of stuff, unresolved stuff, is the degree to which we're not truly free.
Yes.
So as I started working with my women clients, amazing transformations started happening. I mean, their life started changing. They started saying, Coot, you changed my life. Coot, you saved me 2 years of going into a relationship and the relationship hell and the heartbreak and the pain. And the women clients started to say, Coot, would you create a seminar for women?
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't want to create a seminar for women. That's a lot of responsibility. You know, I do other things.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't stop. So about 18 months ago, less than 2 years ago, I received a vision. I put out to my Facebook, I'm creating a seminar for women, I think. And I got 100 responses of saying, I want to fill out a questionnaire.
Yes.
So we had 100 responses. I wept. I invited 5 women to my living room. They showed up in my living room. I still wasn't convinced I was going to do the seminar. It turned into a full-blown 3-hour transformational session. I felt the soul of woman call me and say, you must create this experience. And what the Man Breakthrough Experience is, in a nutshell, is it's a 2.5-day. Wow. It's a 2.5-day transformational, radical immersion weekend that really assists women decode men and transform the hidden blocks that keep them from attracting love. It's not just for single women. It's for women that are married. It's for women that don't want to be in a relationship. It's women that want to be in a relationship. It's for women. It's a breakthrough seminar for women where I simply use men and their relationship with men as a bridge to have a conversation and as a metaphor to show you where you're stuck. Because often in relationship, that's the area where stuff comes up.
Yes.
Relationship and love brings up everything unlike itself. So
absolutely.
It's a profoundly healing seminar that I take women, you know, we had close to 100 women in the last one, where I take women through a profound, beyond the mind to the heart and the soul, experiential experience that really helps clear away the junk, clear away all that stuff from the pain of the past, the stuff with the parents, the nervous system, and really helps free women so that they can love themselves again and connect to the source of love that they are.
Yes.
And I believe that when a woman connects to the source of love that she is, she becomes radiant.
Yes.
And she becomes an attractive force by being that love. So,
yes.
You know, the next event is, I think, May the 16th.
I was going to say, when?
Yeah, May the 16th is our next one.
So
May the 16th, 17th, 18th. It's a Friday, awesome. Friday evening, Saturday, Sunday. It's intensive. It's unlike anything out there. You know, www.themanbreakthroughexperience.com. Hopefully you can give that to your listeners.
Absolutely.
And if anyone does sign up from your show, Davey, they just have to email my office once they sign up and say they heard me on my vibration show.
Nice.
And we'll give them a special 2-for-1 deal.
Wow.
If they sign up, but they have to mention Davey and my vibration.
So
it's a revolution to see women come alive. I believe it's time that the feminine rise up. I believe it's time that those feminine principles of intuition, of love, of compassion rise up again. And this seminar is a breakthrough experience for women to reconnect to the source of their true power, which is love, to be that love fully in the world. I do share things like, you know, the 5 to 6 phases a man goes through. I share things that I call it the 7 keys to choosing a man, that once a woman understands these 7 keys to choosing a man, it will completely transform how she chooses a man. Because I believe most of the problems that women have end up having is because they're choosing the wrong man.
Totally.
So it's transformational.
Yes. Coot, you are just the brightest light, man.
Oh, thank you.
I just love you, bro. My heart shines for you, brother. Truly, truly. Wow. TheManBreakthroughExperience.com. Make sure to check it out. TheManBreakthroughExperience.com.
Thank you.
As I've said earlier, time flies when you're having fun. This has been such an amazing show. I have such a wide heart open right now, thanks to Coot Blackson. I just thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. It means the world to me.
It's been a joy.
And yeah, listeners, make sure to definitely take advantage of Coot's super generous offer. Make sure to mention the Vibration Station. Say Coot was on the Vibration Station.
Exactly.
And I'm also going to put up on the archives all the links, the emails, and everything for you guys to pursue this. This is really amazing. I just want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you, Julie. We love you. And this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. I'm your host, Davey, and I want you to know that we are sending you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours, always and forever. We'll see you next Sunday, guys. Always love. Thank you, Coot.
Much love. It's been great being here.
Bye.
Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all. And all the silly games like, will we used to play and see how fast we could smoke out of gore and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times. Doesn't matter if we had sacks and dimes, we got each other until the end of this rhyme. At least that's how it seemed, that everything was fine. When we used to chill at mom's, get drunk and blaze. But I guess that was just another phase, like selling X or getting late. But now I have to work to get paid. Not that money really matters in this life. I mean, right? Not that money really matters in this life. Not that money really matters in this life.